Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and this beer is legendary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we are the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading I Am Legend by Richard Matheson, and Jimmy is starting the beer.
Ugh,
maybe.
Jesus, it's hard. I'm getting old. This is I Am Legend, you know, the book about being the last man on Earth. And so this beer is called Solo Exhibition. And it's from Other Half.
On the nose.
I have that in the fridge, but not what I use.
It's a double dry hopped triple India Pale Ale. So that is, of course, six times an India Pale Ale.
Well, they are. Don't they have the highest population of any country now, India?
Oh my God, this is 10.2%. Oh,
there's way more of them.
It's good. It tastes like a super double dry hopped and a 10% alcohol beer. It tastes like those things, and it's good, but it's gonna get you drunk, which is fine. I'll be almost as drunk as this guy was in this whole book.
Dude, he was wasted. I respected it.
You had nothing else to do.
There were days when, like, my wife, before I had a kid, and my wife would not be home, and it'd be like 10 a.m. Like, I guess I'm having a beer now. And I expected her to come back. You know, like, I was. I get it. So, I Am Legend is a novel, a post-apocalyptic novel from 1954, and has been made into many movies, and I've seen some of them. And it is set in the 1970s, the future, where a plague has killed or converted everybody into vampires, and the dude, Robert Neville Longbottom, is
father of Aaron Neville.
Yes. And he's like, vampires. And then they're like, ew.
Gonna kill all them vampires.
When I get more drunk, we'll do more of that. Yeah. Garlic and
gonna
the pan,
give him a stab in the chest.
A topical reference.
Jimmy's
had last
one sip, and he's already ready to go.
But it's 10.2% alcohol. It counts as two sips.
Always be ready for an Aaron Neville impersonation.
So he is the last man on Earth, hanging out. I don't know where this is supposed to take place. But
it's L.A.
Is it?
All they do is talk about different locations in L.A.
I don't recognize any of them, unless somebody's like complaining about which roads you take. I don't associate.
Well, he's
with
the only
California
one driving, so luckily there is no traffic for once. But it's L.A.
But that was the stereotype always about California, is that people just talk about which road to get to one place or the other. Remember that on the
Californians?
The Californians, like, not under 504, and doing here, and they were just holding like white wine. But Nate, remember we had a boss who was from California, who talked also kind of funny. I forget who was in a car with him, and all he wanted to do was ask, like, which way the GPS was taking them. And like, why are you taking that road? That doesn't seem like the best this time of day. So maybe it's a real thing. So you kind of don't know everything in the beginning. You just know that he's alone and he's living in a house, listening to pretentious classical music and drinking whiskey all day. Like, he keeps name dropping
Schoenberg. That's what Schoenberg he's listening to at the beginning. That'll really calm your nerves. That'll really calm your nerves during the zombie apocalypse.
I know that piece, Transfigured Night, which, you know, maybe it's chosen because, you know, God, it's clever, you know, because the night has been changed because of vampires. But no one listens to that for pleasure.
Well, maybe it's, you know, he wrote this in the 50s and he was taking place in the 70s. He didn't know what the future music was going to be like. So he's like, better just go to the classics.
Sure. Yeah, the music from 1930. Ridiculous.
The hits. Just the hits.
The hits of Schoenberg. Schoenberg was still alive in 54, I think. So he hangs around for a while, and you realize, and at night, the hotties come out. And they do. He's like, there's a lot. Jimmy texts, he's like, this is a really horny book. It's like, it's kind of weird for a guy who's the last. I mean, I guess it makes sense. He's the last man on Earth. What does he fap to?
Like, he keeps mentioning, like, you know, it's been like 8 months or like 6 months since my wife died. And it's like, so every time he sees like vampire boobs, he's like, oh, I've just got to jack off. And it's like, if it was like once or twice, be like, okay, I get it. But it's a lot.
Well, apparently at night, you know, the people come out, the shuffling zombies, and amidst them is just Elvira, who's just like, look at these titties. And he's like, yeah, I do want to look at them. And they're undead, so they're cold. That means the nipples are always hard. And he's like, look at them. Look at them. He's just looking through the peephole, which creeper kind of language when you think about it.
Yeah.
I'm just peeping. Just peeping at him.
They said at one point he's like jacking off the bar of the window. Like he's like rubbing it like it was his junk. It's weirdly horny for a book about the undead.
Well, vampires always kind of represented sex. There was always like a veiled metaphor for sex.
It wasn't very veiled. They just talk about sucking all the time. It's pretty in your face. But he's thinking about, you know, when does he think about sex? Well, probably yesterday, today, and tomorrow he would be thinking about.
That is also what I have.
There it is. Which this is a beer from Finback that is in collaboration with Sudden Death Brewing Company, which also kind of works quite
easily. They won't be around for long.
They may get knocked out in this round. It depends. Yeah. After the lightning round, it's 8.5% alcohol and it is a DIPA, dry hop with Citra, Strata, Lotus, and Mosaic. And I don't know where Sudden Death is, but I like that it has like a skull and Jason Voorhees.
It's in Germany.
Mask. They do know about sudden deaths over there.
That
millions
is
of
true.
Them.
True. What's it called?
The beer is called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. That's a great beer. What do you think of it, Nate?
Very nice.
And I'm glad that the German brewery held back not too much sauerkraut.
Just enough.
Good job, Fritz. So he's a horny bastard. There is not once I had that in my head to look for him being horny, there were a couple other passages that I thought were interesting because you could purposely misread them, as we do often. But I like this slide where he's talking about, without a doubt, they were vampire dogs. He had seen and heard them outside his house at night, but they were only dogs. Robert Neville compressed his lips suddenly. Forget it, he told himself. You're not ready yet. The time would come when he'd take a crack at it, detail for detail, but the time wasn't now. There were enough things to worry about now. So he's like, I'm not ready to fuck a dog, but I know I will be very soon.
That's why he tries definitely to get that dog later in the book.
He needs that dog. But
he's like, he's we so can do lonely.
It. We don't have to do it my style, dog. It's fine. I'm a giver. But you're in that passage, like 2 seconds after, he's like, then they come out and they pose for me, the zombies. You wonder, were they really trying to seduce him, or were they just walking around? And he's like, look at that ass.
He did imply that they were like flashing him and like showing off their goods to lure him out. But he might have just been like saying, oh, look at them. Look what they're wearing. They want it because he's a creep.
They're asking for it, wearing that outfit in this neighborhood. Where is her father? Oh, here, he's dead.
In that state of life. Or not life.
The dead.
So yeah, every day it's
undead in the streets.
So the vampires really are like zombies.
Except they talk.
There are some that are like more crazy and some that are better.
Including his neighbor, the Jew.
So you find out through.
Seriously, it matters later that he's Jewish.
Yeah, like halfway through. You find out like halfway through that some of them are like just completely dead, and then some of them are more like humans that are slowly dying. But somehow they're vampires because they don't like garlic, they don't like mirrors, and they're afraid of crosses.
Yeah.
Which
and there they're was not one, out during the day.
Certain vampires,
yes, and there was a passage like, and why would the Jewish vampires be afraid of the crosses?
Turns out they weren't.
Yeah,
because he showed that vampire a Torah that he just had lying around,
and then it was like, no,
not the Torah.
He's like, oh, you
I never
I'd...
learned to read that.
Do you think he had that little stick with the tiny finger on it so he didn't have to touch it? Like, read the Torah, vampire.
There's no vowels. It's like, well, they're all zombies. They've been disemboweled.
Do you hope it's like there's no like a Zoroastrian vampire? He's like, oh, I don't even know how to fight that one.
It's like, what the fuck? What do Baha'is even do? They're just hippies. But he also is constantly talking about how much it smells like garlic, which threw me because I thought, is he in Little Italy? Like, why is he just worried about the garlic reek everywhere? And he's so upset about
it everywhere.
But it's upsetting to him. Like, he's like, this guy, he's clearly a wasp. He's like, garlic? Ew! Like, all right there, buddy. But you know who would love all that garlic? A big gavone.
A what?
This is called the Big Gavone from Bridge and Tunnel Brewing. And it is a rainbow cookie pastry stout.
What the fuck is a gavone?
So they conveniently, they tell you here on the side of the can. But this is a thing I have been called by the Italian people in my family. Gavone, an Italian-American word referring to an ill-mannered, coarse person who eats like a pig, intends to take more than he could actually consume. In Italian-American families, the word is reserved for select family members or at times entire segments of a family. Examples of correct usage in language, quote, those lousy, no-good gavones come to my kid's confirmation and they eat every last rainbow cookie. Yeah, gavone is a slob.
Well, okay.
A selfish slob.
Good to know.
So, this is... I've not seen a rainbow cookie stout since we did War and Peace, I think. And
can you taste each color? Can you taste the rainbow?
Well, first off, there's only three colors in it. So that's how you know Italians made it. They're like, the rainbow, three enough. That's only 7.5%, so it's a little light for these kind of pastry stouts. I mean, it's a little thin-bodied. It does not taste very much like rainbow cookie, which the thing you most taste in it is the blackberry kind of jelly stuff that they have in there, the jam. Mm. I don't know. You get a little bit of that in here. But the one we had years ago that Finback made with Microphone, whatever it was, that was amazing. That tasted like you pureed it. this I could see that they're going for it, but it's okay. But it's a big gavone.
It's a little lacking. It's not really a gavone at all.
Or maybe some gavone came in and actually had all of the good parts, and this and is
they,
what
they could
left.
Only brew it with the remaining.
He ate almost all the rainbow cookies. Yeah. And then they only had a few left to brew it with, but we already made the labels. And so they just...
It's, I mean, it checks out. That sounds like a textbook gavone. So you get a lot of flashbacks, but he's like going about his day in the beginning, his routine of, oh, I got to go out and fix the very mediocre safety measures I've erected around my house.
Just putting plywood over windows.
I mean, all he's done, it reminded me of The Walking Dead, where they did the fucking barest minimum at all times to not get murdered or not get eaten by zombies.
I feel like for The Walking Dead, like the zombies, if they don't see you, they're not going to come. The vampires have more like cognitive functions. They could get in there. The zombies are just
like,
oh, whatever.
They can't turn a doorknob.
Or go over running water.
But in Walking Dead, they would have a place and then they'd... Like did you watch the show? I know Nate has never heard of it.
The vast majority of it. I hadn't seen the last few.
I'm in the midst of finishing the last season finally, and it's dog shit. But remember when they were in the prison, and then they had these giant gates, you know, the fences around the prison, and they would just have 700 zombies just piled against the gates, and they'd be like, man, let's just have a conversation about what we want to do in life instead of killing those zombies. Like, they just let that sit there. That was just like the background of their, like, they didn't care.
It's like having a pet.
When it became convenient, those zombies knocked over the fence. But that's the shitty writing of that book, that show. But in this, he put some plywood over the windows and he's like, I should get around to soundproofing so I don't have to hear those horny vampires at night.
They're obviously all horny for me.
And then instead, I'm just going to get fucking obliterated drunk. And he pours most of the whiskey, doesn't even get into a glass. It's just on the floor, the table. He's always missing because
he must
shakes.
Be just aggressively hungover every single day, which cannot make the apocalypse much better.
That's maybe he's just hung, maybe like, this is all one of those books. It's like you have to realize he's an unreliable narrator.
He's just on a bender,
fucking wasted and vomiting in the streets, and the people are like, stay away from that man, honey.
Oh, it smells like garlic. Ew.
he was eating manicotti. It just came out. Oh, no. I could still see the shells he was having. So he goes about his routines, and it's like, go occasionally get into a house and kill the sleeping vampire, and then drive them to the giant
The vampires go into comas during the day, so he can just like stab them all to death in their sleep.
But he's not very motivated to do a lot of it. So he'll kill like two and then he'll drive them over to the massive pit that they created in the middle of the town to burn bodies.
And he keeps saying like he has to spend a lot of his time making more steaks. Like, why don't you just like,
reuse that one?
Like, it they can't wear down that quickly, man.
Especially, you're not worried about, it's not like neat work, you know? It's
you just like, stab him.
Like a chisel, where you're like, yeah. Hey, really be careful about this.
Just smush him in the chest hole.
But it turns out you don't even need to, later on when he gets into the science of vampires and he gets prodigiously stupid about how they are, it's a bacterial fungal thing that the issue is when you open up the body and let air in, you upset the equilibrium of the fungus. It's not about piercing their heart. But then there's a one random vampire when he impales her and she turns into like a pile of pepper or something.
That's she's like disintegrates. He threw her out into the sun.
But didn't he like stab her and then she turned into dust? Another thing that happened? He's like, wow, she must have been really old. She dried out, bitch.
Yeah, there are some that when they get stabbed become like completely just turned to mush like right away. Like the whole thing. And so they just don't. They die extremely quickly. He's like, huh, that's weird.
But I did have this question about the pit of fire that he has in town that's been smoldering. There's just like coals there and corpses. And he drops them off there. And it specifically says that he also threw in a sack of rocks with the body.
Yeah, like, so it sinks to the bottom of the fire pit.
Why?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a dead zombie. You're just burning the corpse. Why a sack of rocks? I spent the rest of the book wondering, what? Is that going to come back? Is that a thing?
Is he just trying to jumpstart the rock cycle? He had some rocks to get rid of, and he just figured he'd knock out, you know, two things with one stone.
Maybe if it wasn't dead by nightfall, so it couldn't crawl out.
But it's not like he tied them together. He literally just threw the body in and threw a sack of rocks.
It's to smush it.
Yeah, it's like, that's just fun to hear. It
they retain the heat.
It's a hot stone massage, yeah.
Oh, just imagine if I build it up enough, I'll be able to do a luau over this. Just hot rocks and just get a pig. So
you find out that both his wife and daughter died, and he tried. So you find out that this all happened because of a pandemic and through some like disease that turns everybody
some
into
fucking
this.
Guy ate a bat. And then,
no, it's because there was a war in Guatemala, and then there was some dust storms, and then the mosquitoes came around, and then because everyone got little cuts from the dust, then the mosquitoes could get the virus into them or some shit. That's his theory, because he is
his working
as
theory.
He says, not a scientist.
But he does, by the end of the
nor
book,
is the
he,
author.
He reads a bunch of books in the library.
Oh, yeah, he learns all of science.
So so one thing what I was going to say is you find out that there was a law before everyone was dead from this thing that you had to burn the bodies. When somebody was infected, you had to burn them. But then his wife?
Yeah, his daughter's in the pit.
His wife dies, and he's like, no, I'm going to bury her anyway. And then she comes back. She literally claws her way out or, you know, digs her way out and then comes back. And then he has to stake her. And that's when he becomes a real alcoholic.
So this goes on for a while as it just kind of reveals more of the backstory. And the flashbacks to the end of the world, which are scant, but, you know, were kind of cool, I guess.
Scant and like the dresses that the vampires wear outside of his house.
They are just, they're just whores. It must have been nice. Because all he wants to do is fap.
I wrote down this section.
He says it like all the time. He's like, that's 19 times I jerked it today. I am legend. And he just
said, then the woman blocked her view of Cortman and started jerking up her dress. Neville pulled back and slammed the tiny door over the peephole. He wasn't going to let himself look at that. In the first second of it, he had felt that terrible heat dredging up from his loins like something ravenous.
Yeah, man. He's horny. Well, hold on. Here's, I see. I found the sentence where you talked about, which if you just only quote half of it works really well. This is when he's talking about, like, am I going to hand myself over to these hot naked women flaunting their hot bodies at me? Maybe I am. He actually found himself jerking off. Now, it continues to say the crossbar from the door, but I think if you just stop it there, that's really what the author meant.
I mean, that is kind of what he meant. Like, he's like, he's just, for some reason, giving part of the door a hand job. I don't really understand why, but
the door was lonely. Wood.
Like, this is, he's just like the weird, he's like, he's supposed to be in his 30s, but it sounds like he's fucking 13.
Aren't we all inside? Like, I mean, if left to our own devices.
This guy is extreme, though. He's like, oh, I know she's dead, but, you know, whatever, man. I know she will literally kill me if I fuck her, but maybe not. Hey, maybe not.
It has been weeks since he had sex.
It's been months.
And he is a manly man who is producing 2 to 3 gallons of jizz a day. He needs to get it out. He is just gushing.
It's like a human super soaker.
In fact, every time that fire pit gets a little too hot, he has to just go come by it to, to, you know, abate the flames.
With his bait.
Yeah, to masturbate, abate. And
so after one of these episodes, he decides he's going to learn science. So he goes during the day to the library to get books about blood and books about science and then starts reading them. And he tries to, like, teach himself enough science to, like, try and find a cure. Which, the problem is the equipment that you would need. There's just no way. It's just...
Doesn't exist anyway. There.
No.
He's reading a 1972 medical textbook, which must have been fucking hysterical.
You gotta rebalance the humors.
I was like, there are the four blood types. Can you dig them? like the public, you know, the popular science books about health and how the body works must have been ridiculous. Or maybe you got like really old ones and they're like, be wary of the Negroid blood. Like, all right, that's something to be mindful of.
Yeah. Do you guys remember what he said when he was going to the library and he's like, he's imagining what it was like, oh, all this stuff put here and kept together by some like sad virgin librarian woman. I'm glad being a virgin would be worse than the apocalypse. Just like, Jesus Christ, dude, what is wrong with you?
He is a 13-year-old boy who just got back from camp and fingered one girl. And he's like, I have seen the top of the mountain and you virgins suck.
So then he learns all of science. In a couple of afternoons, or maybe a few weeks. Either
way, it's
years wildly implausible.
When he gets to, I mean, he only drinks so many hours of the day.
Maybe like 2 years, but still, I mean, it's still ridiculous.
Not as ridiculous as when later he reveals why he's immune.
Oh, well, it's still, once again, a theory. but eventually he starts seeing this dog, and he's like, I've got to fuck that dog. I mean, I've got to get that dog because I'm lonely. Not to fuck it. Definitely not.
No.
So he starts leaving out bowls of milk like he's never heard of what dogs eat.
And hamburgers.
He doesn't like milk and hamburgers. I mean, the hamburgers.
And he just surrounds them with garlic.
Where is getting this milk and hamburgers? It's
been years. It clearly says that he is the master of the frozen food section.
Yeah, he has a generator and a chest freezer that's packed. And
he has 2 years worth of milk in his freezer. Actually, the milk he gets from the vampires.
He milks them.
Yeah.
That's how he knows how nice the titties are.
Yeah.
Comes out as a dust sometimes. It's like powdered milk.
Just add water. It has to be rehydrated.
Yeah.
But he keeps leaving out the stuff. And he's like, I got to get that dog. And, you know, he eventually, after weeks of like being nice and bringing the dog out, he finally gets the dog. And then the dog dies. You're like, oh, well, that was useful.
Well, it's so dramatic because he holds this whole thing and the dog keeps running away and then he finally gets the dog to come in, but it won't. It's like hiding at night because the dog's been burying itself and he could see in its eyes the dog is dying of this disease. And he goes, I'll cure you. I'm going to save you, dog. And then the next sentence is, the dog died a week later. New chapter. I was like, oh, God. All right. That's direct.
And then it skips ahead another few years.
But he keeps like thinking about this is how the vampires work, and he comes up with the theory of like if this is a real virus or whatever, why do crosses affect them, or why do mirrors bother them? And his answer is conditioning.
He's like, well, you know, everyone just thinks that's what vampires are afraid of. So they just, you know, they're like method acting it. When yes. The real thing that they're afraid of is a sip of sunshine. For the 19,000th time on the podcast, this is Lawson's Finest Liquid Sip of Sunshine, an IPA that's 8% alcohol. That is very good. I didn't have to sip it. I know it's going to be good because I've had a lot of this. We should say that this one is brought to us, or these are all brought to us, by our supporters over at Patreon. So don't wait until you're the last man on earth to support the podcast, because then we won't be making it anymore. But if you want to support the podcast now, go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub, where you can get early access to content, exclusive content. Join us for live episodes. We'll mail you stuff. We'll send you nudes, probably, if you ask nice.
Of dogs.
Yeah. And so much more.
They're tasteful.
It is a fun community of people who are really just egging us on to drink into oblivion and to read the worst books. And we're whores. We'll do that. And if that's not your thing, you could also help the podcast out by just leaving us a review, ideally a good one. We have recently passed 200 reviews on Spotify, and our ratings have started to improve after the Prince Harry fallout.
Fuck those redcoats.
Fuck them.
And redcoat sympathizers. Even worse, honestly.
You goddamn Tory bitches.
Collaborators.
So if you want to do that, or just tell someone to check it out. Because again, you know, if you wait till you're the last person on earth, then you have no one to talk about this fine podcast with. But back to the book.
So it skips forward a few years, and suddenly he sees a lady, and he's like, oh, thank God.
He sees her just running around, and he's like, all these things, like, she's a redhead. Ginger, I can make it work.
He also thinks, in my fantasies of this happening, they had bigger boobs. He actually says that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a bit of a surfboard, but any port in the storm. And then he chases her down, and she runs for her life. She's like, oh, dear fucking God, no.
Because he looks like a yeti at this point.
Shut up, I'm not going to hurt you. She's like, oh, please don't do it. Stop crying, I won't hurt you. Like, that's how the romance always starts. And in this case, it's true, though, because later on she's like, I really wanted that dick. I'm sorry things didn't work out.
I heard it was legendary.
It's actually the title is an anagram about a riddle about his penis or something. It's like the end of a leg. It's a foot in length and smell. But he then I should have saved that joke for now.
We don't know how often this man is bathing.
He never bathes. Oh no, he does shower a couple times.
He has to eat garlic every day and have it come out through his pores to ward them off.
And he's the dawn of the newer of the vampire world.
So he captures her, and then like he like grabs her and brings her home and like locks her in the bedroom, not with him in there, just like just stay in there until you calm down, kind of thing. And then eventually she calms down, and he's like, "I'm not gonna hurt you." And she's like, oh, that garlic smell everywhere. Oh, it's terrible. And it's like, oh, that's
suspicious.
That's weird. Yes. Is she a vampire? Like, no, can't be. And then she has a story about how, yeah, my husband and my kids, they finally were taken last week. They died last week or 2 weeks ago, something like that. And now I'm here out on my own, and I'm so sad. And he's like, oh, like, but, and this whole thing's like, did she get infected? Did she get infected just now? That's why, or just in the last, you know, couple of days, that's why she's not showing in terms of like, she's not showing like, you know, being a vampire yet. And then she's like, but I really, I'm going to save you with my science that I definitely learned out of Popular Mechanics. I'm going to save you. And she's like, well, okay. I'll save you. But then she hits him over the head.
Well, he says he's going to save, if she's infected.
Yes.
He's going to save her. And she's like, I'm going to do a blood test, look for the germ. And she's like,
but
okay.
I'm going to use a condom just to be safe.
Yeah. And then he looks at their blood and it's like, whoa, there's a lot of germs in here. And then she knocks him out and bolts. He's like, oh, she was a vampire the whole time. But how?
She leaves a note. She leaves a lengthy note.
And the answer is spray tan.
Yeah. She had a spray tan.
It's L.A. There's spray tans everywhere.
That's those are still there. Those are like the only things that didn't get completely looted. But she's like, listen, just to be clear, I wanted to suck your dick. But I'm a vampire, so I really also wanted the blood. It's complicated. But don't feel bad. I want to fuck you. Like she reassures him. I really have feelings for you in my loins. And that's all he's like, all right, at least I still got it. But then she's like, they belong to the, you know, the new world order of vampires. And you need to fucking leave. They're going to come and they're going to kill you because that's what they do.
Because you have been going into our houses during the day and killing us in our sleep for years now. And it's kind of a dick move to us. Because when they were together, she was like, you know, like, what if they're still alive in there? And he's like, nah, fuck them. Got to kill them when they're asleep.
It is the only way. Well, he's still like, maybe there's other people like me out there. You know, I got to kind of make sure. When the bazongas come to me, there are no hindrances.
Got to be ready.
And then she like time jumps again, right?
No, it's like that night the vampire SWAT team shows up.
I think it was a little bit more time, but it's been a few weeks because he had the opportunity to leave and he didn't. No. But then they show up and they're like gleefully killing the other vampires.
Other vampires are like feral to that compared to them, and they're making them look bad, and they're also eating other vampires, whereas these vampires are just taking blood pills.
And they finally kill Cortman, or whatever his name was.
And it's a hate crime because he is Jewish.
But he's like, where's your Torah now? And the guy's like climbing on the roof like a fucking...
climbing up the chimney.
Like a much demented Santa
Claus.
Not
like Santa Claus because he's Jewish, which they mention several times.
Yeah. It's just, but also, the whole you don't know that till the end. Like, the whole book, he's just like, is it Cortman? That was the name, right?
Cortman, yeah.
And he's like, fucking Cortman is out again, that piece of shit. And you never know why he hates him. He just hates that he hates his neighbor. He just hates the guy. Like, he fucking borrowed my lawnmower. He never gave back. Piece of shit.
And the guy lent him his car when he really needed it, too.
To drive his wife to a shallow grave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that guy.
I think he just hates him because he's the one that keeps standing outside of his house every night and yelling at him. Yelling his name to come out while the other vampires just show off their dead lady bits.
And Cortman just keeps pulling out his very circumcised penis.
Yes, they mentioned it in the book. It's extremely circumcised.
It's
tapered even.
Do they flay your penis? What did they do there? And then they kill Cortman, and Neville's like, that wasn't nice. Oh, fuck it. I don't know what's going to happen now. They'll probably kill me. And then they just knock down his door, and he shoots a bunch of them. Even though shooting them wasn't supposed to kill them, because it didn't create a big enough hole in the fungus layer of
they
their body.
They have like a glue thing, because the bacillus that has infected them, this is Neville's theory. The bacillus, the bacteria that infected them, makes some sort of glue, and that's why a bullet wound isn't enough.
It's like quick wounds reseal themselves, but the stake keeps the wound open, because it physically can't close itself, so then the air touches it and it dies, because that's science.
Even though the bullet going through your body making two holes.
But then it leaves, and so the bacteria can just refill it. Like, boom, 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 boom.
I'm going to call bullshit, but that's fine.
Yeah, the science is
laughable. You know,
it's made up, because this is a vampire book.
There's actually a great quote if you did, from Damon Knight, who only sounds like an R&B singer, but Damon Knight was a...
or a vampire.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, Damon, like he's...
Day and night.
Not going out in the day, man, night. But he was a sci-fi writer and a contemporary. And, you know, this book is full of good ideas, every other one of which is immediately dropped and kicked out of sight. The characters are child's drawings, as blank-eyed and as expressionless as the author himself in his back cover photograph. The plot limps. All the same, the story could have been an admirable minor work in the tradition of Dracula if only the author or somebody had not insisted on encumbering it with the year's most childish set of, quote, scientific rationalizations. Man, he did not like it.
He didn't like all the vampire jahubies.
He didn't like all the talk about vampire spores.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk of spores, which I thought were just a fungus thing.
Yeah,
but I guess I don't know.
Well, it's all a theory.
And the theory why he didn't, why he lived, is because he had once been bitten by a vampire bat.
In Panama.
He said it was a vampire bat that may have bitten an already vampire, thus it was weaker.
Well, that is how vaccines work.
Yeah.
He got an accidental vaccination.
He got the anti-corona. A bat bit him, and he was saved.
It's the yin to Corona's yang. So then they capture him, and they take him to their fortress, where the fuck they live, which you never get to see.
It's the LA Rams stadium.
Is that right? No, you're making
that
up.
No, I made that up.
It's where the Raiders play, actually. But they take him to wherever, and then...
Vampire Thunderdome.
And the lady shows up, and Ruth, and now she's all vamped out and shit.
She's just a little paler.
And she, oh yeah, the spray tan has been washed off. She explains to him, like, listen, they were not supposed to kill you, but then you had to go and kill a bunch of them, and now they have to execute you. So you're going to get executed. So I warned you, why didn't you listen? And this is how you know some time has passed, because he's like, I tried so many times, but I just had to keep jerking it. There were just no dogs.
And he says something like, you know, I'm the last human, which means I'm the weird one. I'm no longer normal. I'm the weird one. Everyone else is normal. And so whereas vampires used to be this like legend, used to be this scary, you know, just, you know, fairy tale legend thing. Now when I'm dead, I'll be the legend that the vampires will use to scare their children with. Don't be, watch out for the normal humans, everyone.
Like the daywalkers who...
My, how the turntables have turned.
I am the one who knocks. But yeah, this is when it gets old. It gets old deep. And this book had a few moments of that classic old-timey sci-fi aspirations to being philosophical.
And they have to say words wrong, like, I am become death. Like, I am legend, not I am a legend.
Yeah, right.
That's just funny. I am legend. Like, what?
Is that one of the outtakes from Mrs. Doubtfire when he was doing the voices? Like, I am Jub? It's like, I am legend? So there's another line shortly before that. When he's like, you fucking sent your goons out and they just were enjoying killing that Jewish guy I didn't care for. And then she's like, dude, they were just assassins. Like, that's what they fucking do. And he goes, it's not surprising. Oh, no, she says, it's not surprising. They're young and they are killers, assigned killers, legal killers. They opened for the killers. Look on the Mr. Brightside. No, they're respected for their killing, admired for it. What can you expect from them? They're only fallible men, and men can learn to enjoy killing. That's an old story, Neville. You know that. It's
like yeah, dude, what? You've been killing vampires in their sleep for 3 years.
But it's just like, this is, you know, this book was written not too long after World War II, and... the Korean War just ended.
Yeah.
And like, people will kill. It's like, all right, dude, yeah, we don't need your deep thoughts. Because you might think they're deep, but they're like literally sound like deep thoughts with Jack Handy. they're not very deep.
Do you know Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, Nate?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Man's a legend.
Right. He was,
man is legend.
Growing up, my favorite uncle was Uncle Caveman or whatever. And we'd go to his house, and he lived in a cave, and he'd play and eat things. And every once in a while, he'd eat one of us. It was only years later I realized Uncle Caveman was a bear. Or something like that is one. Or like,
one of my favorite ones is, the word mankind is made up of two words, mank and eind. What can it mean?
I think my favorite
That's something that could have passed in this.
If trees could scream, would we be so cavalier about cutting them down? We might. They screamed all the time for no good reason. Fucking genius.
So when he's about to be taken out to be executed, he's like, just, you know, I don't want to suffer. She's like, all right, I'll take pity on you. And she gives him some
side. He doesn't ask her. She volunteers it, right?
Oh, either way, what's important is that she gives him two cyanide pills. But where was she hiding them?
I highlighted it. I know exactly where she hid it. Because he had to have one last horny moment in the book.
Had to have one last thing. She had to get him somewhere specific.
Well, Goring hid it in his belly button.
Sniz. No, it's not. She reached up. And this is the quote. She reached up. Well, Goring was a fat bastard, wasn't he?
That's why he could fit all those pills in his belly button.
Yeah, he also had a hoagie in there.
chain link sausages.
And a liter of Pilsner.
It was like him. It was like pulling out a bunch of anal beads.
It was like a magician pulling handkerchiefs out of something. It was just links of sausage. So he killed. Well, he killed himself, but he also did provide his own last meal. No,
he hung himself with the sausage link.
She reached up quickly and unbuttoned her blouse, reaching under her brassiere. She took out a tiny packet and pressed it into his right palm. So she asked how you got her last, I mean, when I started reading that paragraph, I thought she was going to try to fuck him one last time for the road. I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
But she says, here's my titty suicide pills.
She's going to let him finish. She's going to let him finish himself off.
Yeah. Yep. You've been working up to it all book. And then thinks about I can't blame him. I did kill a lot of them, but here we are.
Well, when they bring him out into the arena and everybody's like scared of him, they're like freaking out, like, oh my God, it's because he's jacking it.
Yeah. He's bleeding.
Everyone's like, oh my God, what a fucking weirdo. Oh, kill it.
He basically yanked it off. Threads.
That's what humans do. Yeah, it is.
That's going to hurt so much when he showers later. The water hits that raw dick.
It's like a bunch of uncooked hamburger meat.
You guys don't know that, that feeling when you're a teenage boy and you're like, I think I masturbated too many times. And you take a shower and it hurts. And you're like, oh God, it did. It's like second degree burns down here. Jimmy is laughing. That's the laugh of knowing.
Honestly, I don't know if I do remember that, but I believe it. It makes sense.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
It's been a long time.
Jimmy, we were there together. It was high school. It was the Cracker Jack.
So I thought that because the book came out in 1954 and it's about an apocalypse, it has to be about the Cold War. And so maybe the zombies are actually communists and, because they're mindless, I guess. I don't know. I thought it might have something to do with that.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I think also maybe
the dangers of science, the new technology unleashing bad things.
It could just be a fucking trash pulp book that was, stuck around. It's impossible to know. I don't know what his other works were. I don't know if they were particularly highbrow.
He wrote a few other famous things, and then they're not all great. He wrote The Incredible Shrinking Man. So not really,
That one's about the Industrial Revolution, as we are reduced to workers on a line.
All of our human needs or our humanity is stripped from us. Man physically shrinks in the face of the automata of society, so he has to jerk off.
All the books are weirdly about jerking off.
Well, The Incredible Shrinking Man is what happens after you jerk off. It was so big for a minute there. Look at it now, a little acorn.
We know Richard Matheson is a shower, is a grower, not a shower.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking. What Dreams May Come? That was the other one he wrote. Which again,
really
sounds jerking off. Yeah,
he wrote. That's the one about Robin Williams being dead and going to heaven.
Yeah, because he has to save his wife who committed suicide. Yeah,
that's a weird one. Okay, sure.
Stir of Echoes.
Oh,
which I know is a movie, but I can't remember what it was about.
It's Kevin Bacon, where they find he's got a ghost in his house, and it turns out it's a
dead dirt person buried in the walls.
It's like
right?
this special needs neighbor that someone killed and buried in a wall in his basement.
He also wrote the story that became The Box, which is the thing he wanted to jerk off into.
which is another one. They made a lot of his books into middling quality films.
Yeah. And Hell House. What the hell was that? The Legend of Hell House? What movie was that? A 73 shitty movie. I don't know that one. So, yeah, he wrote a bunch of crap.
This popular, is odd. They're all popular like, they're all like horror adjacent things and What Dreams May Come.
I'm curious how that original book is, though, you know, because
he actually goes to hell for jerking off too much and he has to go save his wife.
But he just keeps jerking. He's like, this is pretty much like heaven. Actually, I'm just
the road to hell is paved with sticky intentions.
Paved with cum. So I think the reason why this book has any notoriety today is because they made a bunch of movies out of it.
They made a decent movie of it, which I haven't seen. I've heard is pretty good, though, in the 70s with, was it Charlton Heston?
I have seen that more than once, actually. The Omega Man.
Yeah.
And it is fucking bad.
Oh, okay.
And then they changed a lot of it. Turned into a Nintendo, game.
Mega Man?
Well, he was like it was his Mega Man, because he's jacking it. But they changed a lot of that. So in that one, he is a scientist, and he
had to make it a little more plausible. Okay.
Well, and then in the ending, they find another community of living people, and he dies like saving them or some shit, or getting the cure to them because it's made with like his blood, And like the main villain of the vampires is the guy who was the newscaster. And then Charlton Heston has like a black girlfriend for a little while because it was the 70s. But then she becomes a vampire and she has like a fucking giant white afro. It's because when they become vampires, they become like albino and they like wear hoods. Like they have leprosy in the 1300s and everything comes like white about them. Ah. It's oof. And then, but still, throughout that whole thing, you're like, please, you need to stop jerking off. He's like, from my cold, dead hands. But
so this week, I watched the Will Smith I Am Legend. I watched the first half of it, and then I was like, oh.
That's enough.
Okay, there are some parallels. Like, they did kind of stick with the plot a little bit, although it's in New York and not L.A.,
He's the son of Aaron Neville in this one.
And then he's trying to find, he's a scientist, he's trying to find the cure. So I can see how like they kept some of the elements.
They changed the entire ending though.
I didn't see the end.
Well, the ending is he, like the old one, he like sacrifices himself to save like a lady and some kid and give them the cure that he invented. But then that defeats the entire purpose of like him being the scary one who's left. He's the only one left. Like it defeats the entire purpose of the fucking title.
Yeah.
It undermines the entire point of the story, which is dumb, but still like has an interesting ending. It was like the ending is the only like notable part of the whole book. And they just say like, nah, he's the good guy and he did his best to cure them. And also in the movie, like the vampires were not like, I don't think they were cognizant anyway. They were just like monsters.
Yeah, no, they're mindless. One funny thing, though, was that because the movie came out in 2008, 2009, something like that. And it's about a pandemic emptying out New York. And it was like, oh, little did they know. And it was a little bit funny, like, oh, wait, it kind of was like that, though.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember during like the first couple weeks of COVID, I could see the Van Wyck, you know, the highway here. And it had zero cars on it. I was like, this is so weird.
Yeah, the streets
of Brooklyn. I just want to drive somewhere. There's no traffic.
Streets of Brooklyn were almost entirely empty, except for the ambulances. And it was a lot of them.
Yeah. But no one turned into vampires because the Bill Gates microchips saved us.
Yes.
At what cost, though? At what cost?
Cost us 5G. Could have had real 5G, but no, had to use it for the microchips in the vaccines.
So, the Charlton Heston movie didn't, I mean,
it changed the title, so it doesn't matter that they changed the plot. But you make a good point. By keeping the I Am Legend thing, like the end when he's like, all right, this is some consolation.
They could have called the Will Smith one the Omega Man, because it's basically that story from that one, and no one would have known the book anyway. They've been like, oh yeah, that movie from the 70s.
I think the title I Am Legend, though, is better. The Omega Man sounds cheesy and old.
Well, I mean, it just literally means like the last man, even though he's not the last man on that one.
And you need a gun for one of your arms.
Yeah, but that's useful when you're fighting vampires. And just shoot stakes. It shoots stakes.
Blood Man and Rock Man and all the other guys that he has to fight.
Do you know what Mega Man has a different name in Japan?
Yes, yeah, like a Bukkake Boy, I believe is what he's called.
It's Rock Man, but like the music.
All right, yeah, I believe it. And wasn't Pac-Man called Puck Man originally?
He was actually Fuck Man, but they said you can't call him that here.
I'm pretty sure it was Puck Man, and they're like, that looks too close.
And Donkey Kong was Monkey Kong, and that's a bad translation.
I thought the name Donkey Kong came from the guy using a thesaurus, and he wanted to write Stubborn Gorilla, and he came up with a Donkey Kong.
It is something like that, yeah.
And Mario is just Guido.
Guido Linguini.
Paisano the Plumber. So, who should read this book, then?
No one.
Well, no one who cares about science.
Oh, no, yeah.
Or cares about almost anything. Like, it's fine, but it's not going to change your life having read it. You're not missing out if you don't.
I think it sounds like it was just very influential about, like, especially like zombie movie kind of things, the ideas, but everyone else did it better. And so you don't kind of need this. Like, it seems very familiar. Like, I didn't know it was 1954. I figured it was like the 90s or something.
Until I thought it was the 70s. I just looked it up. Because it was the 70s in the book. But
So, because the ideas are so familiar, because they've been copied, you've seen it already. You kind of know it. So don't bother reading it, because it's not very good.
Yeah. I mean, if you know the ending, you know the important part. And if you've been listening to this, you know the ending. So we saved you 4 hours.
Mission accomplished. Don't read, just drink.
It's perfectly fine, but you don't need to spend the time to actually read it, unless you really like the idea of a guy who's really horny for the undead.
No, we're not going to kink shame him.
No, you know, you do you. He's literally the last man. Who else is he going to? I mean,
check out that dead woman. She's a stone cold fox. I've got something you could suck right over here. Wouldn't it be great if he taunted them back as they flashed their loins at him?
He probably just stood there in the window, like, going at it, and they just watched.
Here's the steak.
Who are they going to tell?
And maybe they'll bring over other hot women. Maybe that was his plan. Or they'll just, you know, they should have done. They should have just repulsed him and just had a bunch of dudes out there naked. Just a hairy man ass. And he'd be like, oh, no. Where's the dog? This is too much for me. Yeah, no one should watch it, read it rather. And I don't know if you watch any of the movies.
No, don't need to.
I think it just became popular. I'm sure there are many versions of the story of like the last man on Earth. This is just one that for whatever reason is stuck around better. But it's dog shit.
All right, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram, Drunk Guys Book Club.
And if you've listened this long, why not become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub, or leave a review, or just tell someone to check it out.
And you can also join us on Goodreads, where we read things that are legendary, and also a bunch of stuff that is not.
Mostly not.
Yeah. Mostly not.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.